You are now listening to Changing the Conversation with Punch TV Studios CEO Joseph Collins. Listen live as we discuss the Punch TV Studios IPO 2.0, funding for your film, acting in film and television, new affiliate stations, and all things Punch TV Studios. Meet the stars of your favorite Punch TV Studios film and television shows and find out how you can be a part of the company that is revolutionizing media. Call 657-383-1974 and join in on the conversation. And now your host, Punch TV Studios CEO Joseph Collins.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining us on another episode of Changing the Conversation with Punch TV Studios CEO, Mr. Joseph Collins. I am your co-host, Sharifa Hardy, and once again, today in the Punch Bowl, we have Mr. Damian Rando. How are you this morning, Damian?
Hey, I'm here, happy to be here. What's up, everybody?
Yeah. We have an exciting show. So if you're listening to this show on the line and you want to join us in the Punch Bowl, if you have a question, if you have a comment, please feel free to press 1. If you're listening to this show on your computer and you want to join us in the Punch Bowl, give us a call at 657-383-1974. Again, that number is 657-383-1974. And once again, you'll definitely want to press 1 if you like to join us in the Punch Bowl. We have a fabulous show lined up for you today. We have some great guests. We're going to discuss music, comedy, modeling, singing. We just have so much lined up. But before we get started on our show, what we want you to do is to let everyone know that you tuned in to Changing the Conversation. Damian, did you let the people know that we're on?
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. I was spamming today. My buddies was texting me back saying, stop, please. Please. I'm listening. y'all better listen.
We got to give a shout out to the homies who better be listening to today's show.
Better be. Right. I have a lot of friends and buddies that's in the entertainment field. They want their 15 minutes of fame. They're looking for platforms. I've been introducing them to Punch TV, letting them know. If you're an entertainer, if you're an actor, if you're a film producer, if you have fans, please contact us. We're looking to help and fund everybody that has valuable projects that can be worthy of being on TV. We're the opportunity for you.
Absolutely, and this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, especially since Punch TV Studios is launching August 1st, covering Southern California. We are on KILM, Channel 64, and on most cable stations. Here on Frontier is Channel 20. I know it's Channel 27 on some stations, but whatever KILM is, as of 12:01 a.m., on August 1st, that's going to change over to Punch TV Studios. So check out the network, check out the company. This is an opportunity for all the homies to get in on our initial public offering and purchase their stock at $1 per share.
And on our website. The question of the day, do you, Nabuku, do you?
The question of the day.
Do you, Nabuku?
Yes. I'm Nabuki.
Okay,
I'm Nabuki all day, every day.
Because I guess we're going to need to know that because the community is big. I was on yesterday. I couldn't get off. I was trying to get to Facebook because I have a strong urge to be on Facebook, not an addiction. And Nabuki is trying to take over for that urge.
Yes.
So if you are thinking this, Nabuki.com, the new social website for entertainers, producers, and the people in the entertainment industry.com.
That's right. We got to let them know what you're talking about, Damian. We're going to stop for a brief commercial break before we bring in our guests for today. We'll be right back.
Are you an actor looking for your next role? Are you looking to audition to be cast in the next Hollywood project? One amazing way to do this is to work with Punch TV Studios, making movies and making magic. Join the Actors Group at Nabucchi.com to find out about upcoming film projects and opportunities. It's a great place to network. Do you, Nabucchi? As a filmmaker, you're brimming with ideas. But do you need help bringing your ideas to life? That's where Punch TV Studios comes in. We offer independent filmmakers a place to call home, as well as practical help, advice, resources, support, and most importantly, funding. Join the Filmmakers Group at Nabucchi.com and network with industry professionals. Do you, Nabucchi?
CEO Joseph Collins and Punch TV Studios have been broadcasting for the last 8 years, and for the last 2 years, Punch TV Studios has been producing TV shows and movies for license to major studios and TV networks all over the world. You can purchase your IPO stocks today for only $1 per share as they near their fourth quarter deadline. You could be a part of history as Punch TV Studios vies to be the first African-American owned company on the New York Stock Exchange. Join the Punch TV movement and be part owner for only $1 per share. That's $1 per share. Don't delay, because there is a limited amount of stock for a limited amount of time. So call them today at 310-419-5914. 310-419-5914. That's 310-419-5914. For more information, you can visit them online at punchtvstudios.com. That's punchtvstudios.com.
Yes, for more information on our initial public offering, visit our website at punchtvstudios.com. So we have a great panel of guests lined up for today's show. So what we're going to do, you ready to start the show?
Let's go. Daniel? Let's go. I'm looking forward to meeting Dante.
We're going to go ahead and bring in Dante Cantrell, who started his career modeling in New York. But he has recently transferred his talent to the northern western markets. He has a lot of accolades, consisting of working for Nike, Adidas, Timberland, Tommy Hilfiger, Popular Club magazines, and more. And now he's moving on to music, and he's going to tell us all about it today. Are you with us this morning, Mr. Cantrell?
Yes, I'm here this morning. How's everybody doing?
We are wonderful.
Doing good. In the studio right now. We're going to have one coming out real soon.
Tell us about it. We love to hear more. Tell us about what you have going on.
So as of right now, we're in the studio working on the Forever Summer album, which is estimated to drop either late this month or early next month. And then in September 1st kicks off my first date in Michigan for the official Forever Summer Tour.
Who are you going to be on that tour with?
Actually, I got a couple of dates with 2 Chainz. I'm doing some dates with Adrian Marcel. So I had a couple of dates with different artists that I'm hopping on. So basically tour hopping. And you kind of built our own tour, in a sense, off that tour.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay. Is there any music out right now that you got? I heard Drunk Driving. And I was kind of intrigued by the lyrics on Drunk Driver.
Thanks.
What's with the push on Chill Love? That album's pretty hot.
I appreciate that. We have Trill Love out. That's on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere you find your music at. And then we have our new single, Swish, that's out right now. That's on the radio.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, and just like with music, I used to make music that's very transparent, you know, where it's like I give you me in the sense of whatever I'm going through in that mood, I give it to you. So I'm like an open book. So when you hear Drunk Driving, it's like it's stuff that I've been through. It's like everybody's been to a point where you've been with somebody, you broke up, and you started indulging in drinking, and you start thinking about the past. It's almost like maybe I should just text you.
Wait a minute, Dante. You're talking about drinking now. I watched the video. You're about 15, man. Are you a juvenile delinquent? You're about 15,
you said what?
Man. You're about 15, Dante. Are you drinking? How old are you, Dante?
I'm not 15. I'm in my 20s.
Okay, okay.
I'm 25
years old.
I'm a grown man. I'm old enough to drink. But I think the main focus.
Reese, I don't think you watched the video, but if you watch the video, it's a high school dude on there singing. And he looked like he about 12, and he looked like the boy looked like he about 12 years old. Now, I don't know. I thought he was a young actor, a young model, a young singer. I didn't know this boy was 25. Dante, you need to cut it out and tell your mama. Did your mama see the video?
Yeah, she actually sees all my work because she's my biggest critic. So before I drop any music or anything, I kind of let her hear it first because I know she's going to keep 100% real with me. Like, people around you, yeah, they'll tell you, oh, that's different, I like that, change that. But your mom is going to tell you how it is, straight up.
Right, right. I know she likes the music. You got an old soul. I was listening. You have like a R. Kelly feel to your music. And I really got into that. I was like, oh, look at this young dude. That's why I went on, like, he has to be super young. I thought he was in your teens, really, you know. But, hey, nice music, man. I'm really intrigued by it, and I've been letting my friends know. So, hey, you make sure you keep that push going and keep us informed. Now, do you do Nabuki? Do you have a site?
Yeah, my website is www.dontecontrol.com. So it's DONTE. KENTRELL.com.
Okay, now, we need that information on Nabuki, Dante. Dante, we have a site called Nabuki. It's a social media site called Nabuki. I want you to go on there and set up a page. It has an art.
Okay.
You can create an artist page on there. It does everything that social media does. But the people
that
are
looking
at you. Man,
I'm here to support. I'm going to sign up anyway.
Right, but hey, but the people that's looking at you are in your field. They're doing what you do. They're into the things that you're into, so you have more of a chance to be exposed and get people to engage in what you're doing.
Oh, that's awesome. I appreciate that. That's amazing.
I appreciate the music, man. Beautiful, beautiful.
Man,
hey, you got something there.
So how did you go from being a model into music?
Well, see, what it was, I always loved music growing up. Music was in my blood. It just happened to be, starting off as a model, the money was good, so I didn't really focus on music. I would play around singing and stuff, but it was when I met Tommy Hilfiger and, like, Calvin Klein and all those guys, and then, like, their kids wanted to be in music, and I was just like, it must be something that these people are able just to kind of make that crossover. It must not be that hard. So when I really took it serious, really started focus on it, I started seeing that the model industry and music is really similar, because everything comes back to image, unfortunately, whereas, like, it's not so much of what you're saying, it's how you look and how you present it. And then once I realized that these are basically the same things, I was able to just, like, basically have my music and then have the image come together and coincide to one another, and it just happened to work.
Have you always wanted to sing?
Oh, yeah. Because my grandmother, she would always listen to Sam Cooke, even when she's going, like, cleaning the house or we're going on a road trip. She'll listen to Sam Cooke, and she'll have me, like, join in. And then just to see, like, the happiness that music brought to her at a young age, it just made me want to do that and give people that great feeling that no matter what you're going through, no matter where you at in life, how much money you got, music makes you feel like the world is the greatest place to be. So.
Fantastic.
Definitely words to live by.
I definitely want people to be inspired, because unfortunately right now the way the world is, there's a lot of negativity, a lot of heartbreaks, a lot of pain, and that's why I want to give people just a little something to take some of the pain away, you know, and then give you something that you relate to at the same time.
Most definitely.
Absolutely.
You have any shows coming out, any performances that you're doing that people can come out and see you, do your thing?
Yes. September 1st and September 3rd, I'll be in Michigan at the Chicken Wing Festival. That's be the first
Chicken Wing
show. chicken wings. You know it's gonna be packed. Everybody loves chicken.
Right.
Chicken wings.
Chicken wings.
We need one of those here. I need a chicken wing festival.
Right, now we have a problem because we're going into another segment where we're about to be eating unhealthy at the chicken wing show, clogging our arteries, grooving to you.
I know, but I'm hungry.
At least you're grooving and moving.
Right.
Grooving and moving. Keep the blood flowing.
He didn't say the health food, you know, like now all I had to hear was chicken wings. Now I'm
that's
about to get up and make
right now.
Order me a something from Roscoe's. If I can't have a festival, I'm
going
to have some Roscoe's.
That's right. That good soul food inside you. You know what I'm saying? You feel good.
definitely does. Now, why don't you go ahead and give our listeners your website address, let them know, again, I'm going to be quiet this time, where you're going to be appearing so they can come and see you and get their chicken wings, and, again, join us on the Boogie, but let our listeners know where you'll
be. The only reason she's going to be quiet is because she's ordering from Roscoe's right now.
I'm on mute. Y'all on mute. Don't tell my business, Damien. Don't tell my business.
Yeah, that's the best. Find me on any social media platform at Dante Cantrell, so that's DonteKentrell, or my website at www.dantecantrell.com. You can join our mailing list, and we will send you information about where our shows are, coupons for half off our merchandise, all kind of great stuff like that we have coming up.
Do you have a coupon for half off a chicken wing?
I do got half off chicken wings. They're gonna be a Dante Cantrell wing.
Really?
You know they're gonna be
really Dante.
Yeah, they're gonna be special. They gotta have, you know what I'm saying, they got a little extra kick to them.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. They're looking good.
That's
oh,
right.
Man.
You heard it
Beaming.
Here first. In the punch bowl. So definitely join us, Mr. Cantrell, on Nabuki, that's NABUKIE.com. That way when you release something, you have an appearance, we can put the full force of Punch TV Studios behind you. We have thousands of members on Nabuki.com just waiting to find out what you have going on. And like my man Damien said, feel free to create your page, create your group, but talk to people and be active about what you have going on and let us help you.
I love it. And I definitely
Dante,
and also shout out to Monique too. Yeah, what's going
Dante,
on?
Absolutely. We love Monique. Monique is the best. Hi Monique.
Y'all think you want to do me a favor?
She's looking up. What's up?
You wanna do me a favor?
What's up?
Go live September 1st from the Chicken Festival and the Chicken Wing Festival. Go live on the Boogie and let us see the show live. And we
you
can have a everybody tune
that,
in.
I'm gonna do that.
I'm gonna give y'all an exclusive. Y'all gonna get it. Let us know, okay? Don't be playing, Dante. Don't be playing, because we need that exclusive. We are launching. I don't know if you heard earlier, but August 1st. We are launching in Southern California, placing us in over 16 million more homes. So if you're on Nabuki, there's so much that we can do to help you get the word out about what you have going on. So contact Monique. Monique knows how to get a hold of me, and we'll set up a Nabuki Live that put everyone, just make everyone want to be there. I don't know. We might call it the Chicken Wing Show. I don't know. But
I might have to give y'all the whole experience from traveling on the bus all the way to the festival and everything. Give y'all the whole ins and outs of what it is, a day in the life of an artist performing at a festival. Give y'all the
That's what we want.
You know what I mean?
So you...
Dante,
I got you right now, man. I'm trying to right now.
We're running out of time right now. We're under time restrictions, and we really got to go. And, I hate to have you leave, but just stay and listen. You know, you can listen to the show. You don't have to go nowhere. You know what I'm saying? We appreciate you coming, man. And please jump in the punch bowl, mix it up a little bit, add some ice to it because you do have that sound, and get that Nabuki fight up, please.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
We are starting off this show great, Damien. What do you think?
Oh,
I'm hungry. I got to finish my order.
He got me on YouTube. Hey,
I'll take a lunch break.
If you haven't checked out Dante, go check him out on YouTube. He got some nice videos.
No, I did. I
thought the guy was really. I thought he was in his teens though, for real. He's
okay, but at least he's legal. If he's doing a video with drinking, at least he said he's 25. He said, I'm a grown man. That's what he has said. So what we gonna do? Is we gonna move on to our next guest, because today I don't know who you tweeted or called or texted, or I think you Debo'd some people, but today we have an unusually high number of people listening in on the line. So as always, I know you're on the line. I can see you there, but I don't know you want to join the conversation unless you press 1. So if you just want to listen, that's fine. That's cool. We appreciate the love. But if you want to join us in the Punch Bowl, please press 1. So what we're going to do, we're going to bring on our next guest. Now, it's weird, but I always stereotype people. And whenever we have comedians on the show, I always like, oh, my God, they're going to say something hilarious, and we're going to lose control. Because, you know, we never know what's going to happen or what's going to be said in the Punch Bowl. So we're going to bring in our next guest, who's a writer. He's a musician. He's a comedian. He does stand-up musical comedy regularly at the Comedy Store and the Ice House. So we're going to introduce Mr. Clem Darling to the Punch Bowl.
Hey.
Are you with us, darling?
Hello, how's it going? Thanks
for
having me.
It's going great.
Can you hear me?
All right, Kim, I know you don't have stage fright, Clem. You sound a little scared on the line.
I'm totally nervous every time I do anything. I'm nervous that requires interacting with human beings.
and then you break it down, huh?
Oh, no, I'm always breaking down. Welcome to my comedy. But, no, it's great being on your show. I'm not too nervous. Yeah.
Okay, well,
I mean,
well, let's ask you deep questions then. You know,
we're
going to find
deep
something
questions
to make you nervous then. We got to go deep with Clem. Okay, so
yeah,
tell us what happened, Clem. You were working at a regular job, and you were just like, this job is not for me. I quit, and you left, and you went into comedy. Is that what happened?
Not necessarily. I just got into, like, a sad breakup, and then didn't know what to do with myself.
Oh, wow.
Figured,
tell us more.
You know? It was just, I don't know, yeah. I mean, you don't, you're in a relationship for a while, and then you kind of try to, you know, and then it ends, sadly. Then you try to figure out what to do with yourself, and stand-up comedy seemed kind of therapeutic and, you know, fit my lifestyle, staying out late and trying to make people laugh. But yeah, it was mostly just the funny story about it was I was doing a press campaign for my music, and it was all love songs about this, you know, wonderful woman who I was in love with. And then, sadly, we broke up, and then all my friends were like, oh, this is too sad. You should start playing these songs at comedy shows and talking about it at comedy shows, because as far as your music goes, it's like, you know, kind of sad to have all these love songs and know that I'm not really, you know, feeling as happy as the songs portray. And then Monique, your friend, saw one of the shows and told me to, you know, hang out and talk with you guys for a bit. So.
Yes, we love Monique. No, but I just had to ask, like, what happened? Because every comedian that I've seen, they always have this story of how they wound up in comedy. Like, I have a friend of mine. I'm always, for whatever reason, a lot of my friends are comedians. I don't know, just happenstance. But
yeah,
they are. And I had one friend that I hadn't seen since 1999. Okay, and he sent me a Facebook friend request, and he's like, hey, you know, what are you doing? I'm like, you know, I'm doing this. What are you doing? He's like, I'm doing stand-up comedy now. And I'm like, okay, wait a minute. The last time I saw you, you were a Hindu who refused to speak to anyone. Like, how do you go from being a Hindu? No offense to the Hindus, but, I mean, if you know Hindus sit in the corner with their little head shaved and do the, and they don't speak to people. And so we worked together, and he had absolutely no social skills. Like, if you asked him a work-related question, he would answer you. But if you tried to socialize with him, his little Hindu self was not having any of that. So he's like, I'm in stand-up comedy. And so my friends are always inviting me everywhere, and I don't go, you know, because I get invitations to the best parties in Hollywood. So when he invited me, he was like, I'm performing on March 30th. And my birthday is the 31st of March. So I'm like, he's like, come out and see me. Because I'm like, I, you know what, I'm going to your show. And I took like about 20 people to the show, and now every time he sees me, he's like, come out and bring your entourage. I'm like, I don't have an entourage. It's just me and the homies, you know. But I had to see what happened. And actually, you know, more honestly, it was like, I wanted to know what he was going to say. Like, it had to be so profound because he hasn't spoken in years.
Right, yeah. He's using his words very wisely, I imagine. So that's hilarious. But yeah, I mean, and you're getting a deeper perception of this dude who never talks to people, because I imagine, you know, I think that's really cool. That's a really cool story, because that's what comedy's sort of about, I think, is getting to know the people on stage a little better. And then, you know, and for your friend's case and my case, I think it's people who are generally kind of socially awkward and uncomfortable trying to communicate. It's like, you know, music or something like that, or writing poems or something. Because I have really, like, hard friends who write, like, the softest poems by themselves. And I'm like, okay.
In a corner.
They'll be like, oh, I write these poems every day. And they'll be, like, super sweet, rhymey poems. And there'll be some, you know, your big, like, catted friend who seems like he wouldn't write poems like that. Like, this is great. So,
no, but even when you watch all of the comedians, you know, a lot of the comedians, the larger ones, you know, they always talk about when they try to work at, like, their regular day job, and it never really works out, you know what I mean? And that's part of why, you know, part of my problem. I can only work for Punch TV Studios because I can only do certain jobs a certain way, because I'm like, 40 hours? You want me to stay here for 40 hours? No, I'm cool. Let me go stand up on the stage for 15 minutes, make about $500.
Yeah, seems like you found your spot then. Oh, wait, what'd you say? Sorry.
Could you tell us what's on your mind? Because you just, you laughing, and I'm like, this dude, there's no way you can make sad songs the way you laughing so much.
Oh, well, thanks. That's sweet. I try to make the songs themselves aren't sad. It's just, that's sort of the comedy, is that, you know, like, they're very sweet, sincere love songs that I wrote from, like, the bottom of my heart. And then, you know, sadly, people, you know, break up with each other. And then the comedy kind of comes from just being really truthful on stage, you know, because, you know, you got to just sort of, like, bear your soul up there. And sometimes it makes people laugh. Sometimes it makes people uncomfortable. But, yeah, I try to stay away from writing too sad songs lately. But I've been doing – I got a gig writing, like, rock music, so I got to make more, like, angry rock songs recently, which was fun. You know, it's just expressing different parts of yourself.
But you
do
rock.
So do we get to hear one of these songs? Do we get to hear one of these songs?
Oh, yeah, you can – I have a few music projects happening. There's a folk band I'm in called Tough It Bunnies, which – is online and has music videos, and it's a really pleasant folk band filled with, like, mostly just love songs.
She was talking about, like, right now.
Oh, live? Oh, you want me to play a song live?
I was walking outside.
And give us some poetry. You know, I wanted to hear some of the sad poetry. Like, I loved her, and she shot me, and the shot passed. But I still love her because she's not a good mark, you know, something. Like, give us some of the sad poetry.
Right. Oh, I mean, I like the sad poetry. None of it's really sad. It's just kind of like, you know, the songs themselves are pretty hopeful, because I think your love for people can remain, like, stay eternal. You still have, like, a special place in your heart for them. And then some people make you real upset and you just kind of want to eliminate them from your lives. But it's what's nice about falling in love with people, and what, you know, breaks your heart sometimes too. it's worth it, you know. But love poems. I'm trying to think of any poems that I've been writing
lately.
Think
of the girl. Think of the woman.
What?
That's think of her. You have to channel that feeling back.
She's the muse for you. So draw in on her right now and just come from the heart right now.
Just straight from the heart is what you're saying?
Just come from the heart.
Like you were on stage.
Oh.
The ice house ready to perform.
Make us feel your pain.
He's like, I ain't never coming back to the punch bowl. Never coming back. Monique, why you had these people talking to me?
They did not tell me I was going to be on improv. It's like
they
in the morning and you're trying, yeah, you're making me do improv. It's like, I mean, she's the sweetest soul. She loves dance. You know, she's just so wonderful. To make a soul from the bottom of my heart, it's sort of like, at this moment, just be like, I hope her dreams keep coming true and she figures out the issues that, you know, we couldn't figure out together. My little haiku for her. So,
that was deep. That was beautiful. That was so nice. You can tell when people are nice guys. Like, you can tell their heart. Because he was like, I wish you all the best, even though we didn't work out. Mad people, they haiku is just completely different.
Right.
I ain't going to tell y'all. Because we're not allowed to curse on air, but I ain't going to tell y'all.
Right. I don't know if we FCC regulated to talk about
we can't. We Punch TV regulated because then they Sharifa, the people called and they told me you was cursing on the show. I need this job, Mr. Collins. I need this job. I'm sorry.
we can keep it light. There doesn't need to be any cursing or anything like that. But it's, I'm okay with that too, because even people who are upset about relationships, that's fine too. Because I've been upset in previous relationships, then you just have to write angry poems. Maybe you'll talk to me sometime and lots of angry poems.
We're over here instigating. I'm instigating the angry poems. She didn't do you right. You was a good man. She didn't appreciate you.
Yeah.
He doesn't have an angry bone in him. He's sitting there like, yeah.
No, he does. I'm just trying to find it. Like, I gotta push the right button. It'll come out.
You're not gonna find it. You see, he said you gotta dig deep. It's so deep up in there. He's like, yeah, and her eyes are like just sparkly, like.
Okay, I gotta dig deep. Okay. So darling, look, you talking about mothers early, and your mother is. I'm gonna do the mother on it, darling. What she do, baby?
Wait, what's the question?
How should break your heart, boy? Go on, broke your heart.
Oh, she didn't. I didn't mean to break my heart. So it's just sometimes, sometimes she, sometimes people just meet each other kind of at the wrong time, you know, at different places in their lives, and So
peace is so wonderful. You are right.
Reese,
I can't.
We got close, Reese. We got close. He changed the tone. He didn't laugh after that. He just was like, yeah.
No.
Right.
We didn't get close enough.
We didn't, because
let me tell you, she got a lawsuit out. She got that restraining order, the one that says you can't say stuff in public.
Oh, she got a gag order.
So she listened right now to wait and see. So what he said was, you meet people at the wrong times in their life. But what had happened was she was with John, and they met, and she wouldn't let John go. So it was the wrong time for darling and her. I got all out of that. I got that all out of what he just said.
So basically he was in a love triangle. That's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
It was
but he won't sing about it.
You're close. Yeah, it's totally close. That's very, all of that's pretty
insightful.
Yeah.
I tell you, darling, this is what I do. I read between the lines.
Right. Not to cut you guys off. I know we're enjoying ourselves right now, but we are in the time constriction zone. We gotta watch that. Do you have a Nabuki account?
Oh no, but I was listening to the interview before, and I'm like definitely gonna set one up. That sounds
right. Okay.
Like,
okay.
Good idea.
We most definitely need you to set up that site because I was googling you and I was looking for some information about you and stuff because I like to, like, read up on my guests before they come on. And yeah, I had a hard time trying to find stuff, and, you know, your name kind of, you know, it was a lot of you guys.
Yeah.
So I was really, like, you know, I kind of lost a little bit. I was like, ooh, I wish I had a Facebook page, you know, or something so I could get closer.
Oh, right,
you know,
yeah.
Like, to the information that I needed. And I think the book would be nice for you to, you know, so I can come probe you and get that information. I'm going to make you cry before today is over with. But I just want to I want to hear some of those sad songs, you know. And I really enjoyed you coming on the show, and I just want to get more information. I know our listeners want to get more information on how to get in touch with you, because they probably want to see you cry too. I know there's a tape out there, the breakdown tape.
That sounds great. I'm totally gonna set up like that. Yeah, putting your name out there more. And this is a very pleasant conversation. I enjoyed it. It seems like a good vibe. So, Nabuki, yeah, just sign up and set up an account there. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, Nabuki. Yeah, yes. And what about you? Do you have social media sites? Do you have a website that we can contact
I generally,
you?
Like, go through just a name, Tough It Bunnies, which is, like, my folk sort of music project, and I write songs for other people. So I just go under that name. It's just www.toughitbunnies.com, and then my videos and stuff are there.
Okay.
Okay. So give us that. You spell out that URL for us, please.
It's Tuffet, T-U-F-F-E-T, like a little piece of furniture you'd find on Etsy, like Tuffet, T-U-F-F-E-T, and then Bunnies, B-U-N-N-I-E-S, like a bunny rabbit. Tuffetbunnies.com.
Yeah.
I'm on like Instagram and a website, Tuffetbunnies.com, and but Nabuki sounds reasonable too. Put my name out there. I'm not particularly good at internet-oriented activities, but...
So we are. This is what we do.
This is what we do. We expose.
That's what we do. So if you are listening, you definitely want to check out my boy, Clem Darlin. Check out his website at Tuck It Bunnies. We're going with TuckItBunnies.com?
Yeah, and... that's about, and I have some shows. I perform at the Ice House in the Comedy Store every week. If you want to check out my comedy shows,
You
could have said that again. I didn't quite hear.
I perform at the Comedy Store on Mondays, and I perform at the Ice House on Fridays, and I'm also performing at like the LA Comedy Musical Fest on the 29th. So. Some places that I perform this stand up as much as people book me. Other than that, I'll definitely set up a Nabuki account.
Thank you. We definitely want you to join us again. This is what we do. We like to help people get the word out about whatever it is that they have going on. We like to let all of our followers and all our members of Nabuki know. So thank you, Clem Darling, for being a guest on today's show. And I hope
me.
We didn't
this
harass you too much. I hope we didn't harass
no,
you too
this
much.
Was wonderful.
Don't beat up Monique.
It was great. I enjoyed it immensely.
Never call him back.
I know. He's like, I'm never coming back. That's what we try to do.
Yeah.
I try to scare people out of the punch bowl just in case. You know what I mean? It's like we're going to have that one show where somebody just cries. Like, oh, my God, they were mean
Reese,
to me.
You almost made me cry, Reese, I think you
almost
made
you cry.
No,
almost
him.
Made you cry?
I think you almost made him cry. No, his tone changed. I thought he was about to cry. I was about to hand him the tissue, and I had to catch it. Like,
no, he's nice. He's a nice guy. He's a nice guy.
Very nice.
What we're gonna do?
You there?
Are you with me?
Yeah. My phone was cutting it off.
Okay, well, cut it back in because we need you in the show, not out the show, because we got to move on to our next guest. Now, our next guest has an incredible story. His story is so incredible that I won't even try to tell you about his story. But one thing that I will tell you is that here at Punch TV Studios, one of the things that we do the reason why our CEO, Mr. Joseph Collins, even created Punch TV was to make movies from the lives of ordinary people. And sometimes you'd be surprised about the stories of people you run into, you see, you meet every day. But this gentleman, Mr. Richard Miles, spent 15 years in a Texas prison. Now, let me just go back. 15 years in a Texas prison. Now, that ain't no regular prison. So I don't know if the people know prisons, but Texas prison, it ain't no regular prison.
That's chain gang life. That's out there busting big rocks and little rocks on the side of a road with some boys pointing a shotgun at you.
That's right. But it was God's grace that changed his life. So we're gonna go ahead and introduce Mr. Richard Miles, and we're gonna let Mr. Miles tell you his story. Are you with us this morning, Mr. Miles?
Yes, ma'am, I am. How you doing this morning?
You can see we having fun.
Yeah, I've been listening. Pretty cool. Also, congratulations. I checked out your website and seen the acknowledgement from President Obama, so that was pretty cool. So I'm kind of honored. I'm really honored to be conversing with you all this morning. So cool beans.
Thank you. Yes.
We love that. We love having you here. And bless you.
Mr. Collins was awarded. Mr. Collins was awarded the Lifetime Achievement Award in Media for all of his hard work. And so, yes, what we're doing is changing lives. So tell us about your story, 15 years in a Texas prison to where you are today.
Well, yes, ma'am, I appreciate this opportunity. So I'm 42 years old now, and at the age of 19, I was falsely imprisoned. I was falsely imprisoned for murder and attempted murder as I was walking home. Went to jury trial, received a total of 60 years in the Texas Department of Corrections. Met a gentleman by the name of Benjamin Spencer he's still innocent. He's been locked up over 30 years now. He told me about an organization in Princeton, New Jersey, by the name of Centurion Ministries. They are one of the only nonprofit organizations that does non-DNA exonerations. My case was the first non-DNA, no confession exoneration. They did an awesome job. I was released in 2009 after getting incarcerated in 1994, and I was fully exonerated in 2012, 2.5 years after my release. And at that point in time, that's when we started our organization, which is Miles of Freedom.
Okay, so You gave us a lot of that information rather quickly. I just want to go back to you said non-DNA. So from my understanding, that means that in order they didn't use DNA to free or with the new evidence that they have. So what are some other things as far as non-DNA? I mean, is that people changing their stories? Is there new information that came out?
So you have my case stands on it's like a three-pronged. So we have prosecutorial misconduct, which is to the prosecutor to get a conviction. We also have tainted identification. You have a lot of people that's falsely incarcerated because a person said they saw an individual do something, and because of the situation may have been traumatic or whatever, they just took on the perception of the image of whatever the police officer showed them. And the third one was faulty scientific evidence. So it was a shooting that night, and they did a gunshot residue test on my hands. And at the time of the trial, the analyst said that my hands were dirty. 15 years later, because we didn't have I had a court-appointed lawyer. My mom and dad, we were not financially equipped to get a free world attorney. And so the Innocence Project got their own expert witness, and her results was my hands were never dirty. The one guy that testified against me recanted his statement, saying the prosecutor told him to go in and point me out, and all of my alibis came to testify. So my case was a mixture of, all of those three components, prosecutorial misconduct, faulty scientific evidence, and tainted identification.
Wow. That seems like a lot of false information that they had against me.
Yes, ma'am. I mean, when I was incarcerated in the mid-90s, it was a lot of gang violence in Dallas. And, you know, so anybody that's 18, 19 that's getting incarcerated, you're guilty, you know, regardless of anything. And if you're African-American or a minority, you stand to lose a jury trial. And so I was in the county 15 months before I went to the county, before I went to jury trial. And then subsequently, you know, that's when everything kind of turned totally around for me.
Okay, so you used the what happened to you in order to prevent it from happening to other people by creating your own foundation, correct?
Yes, ma'am. You know, and on a grander scale, you know, when you deal with individuals returning back to their communities, to their homes, it's a lot of stereotypic ideas. As you said, you know, earlier, and, you know, a lot of people feel like everybody coming out of prison should be subjected to this oppressive mentality and isolation. And I mean, they've done their time. I did 15 years with men, you know, that had did some stuff. And, you know, they redeemed themselves, but society didn't redeem them. And that was my family, you know, that I grew up with. So for me to get out and be blessed, you know, with a compensation that the state of Texas gives and not try to give back, I mean, I would be less than, you know, who I am today.
Well, that is a wonderful, that's a wonderful spirit. But one of the other things that I heard you say was with the compensation that the state of Texas gives. Now, I'm not going to get all up in your personal business and ask you for amounts, but I've seen so many different stories where people have been in prison or, you know, done time, and the state doesn't compensate them in any form or fashion. But the people in your foundation and the people that you work with, is that something else that you kind of fight for them?
Well, you know, we're not equipped to handle the exoneration, so we just help anybody that's coming out of prison reenter into society. Our workshops provide employment opportunities. We have a transportation shuttle that keeps families connected to their loved ones that are incarcerated. I go back into the prisons. I'll actually be going into one of the prisons when I get back to Dallas Saturday, just as a, you know, iron sharpens iron. You know, I go in and they motivate me, I motivate them. So it's a holistic approach, and that's what I like to call it. It's a holistic approach to reentry. We have helped individuals.
Do you also offer transitional housing?
You know what? We haven't got to that stage yet. Miles of Freedom is 5 years now, and I'm blessed to get to this point. We've just expanded our board of directors, so I'm really optimistic about what the next couple of years will look like for this organization.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You guys have a website that people can, like, give
yes,
to their loved ones to get in touch with you, you know.
Yes, sir.
An intriguing point that you said was that you did 10 years being innocent. Did that change you somehow on your feelings about our justice system and the way that it works?
I think the biggest change that I had was more spiritual. My dad passed 6 months before I got out. And he was a bishop. And so all growing up, he always emphasized, you know, your spirituality, the spirit man. And you hear this, you know, your mom say, you're going to get in something that we're not going to be able to get you out of. And, you know, you really don't take that to heart. But once I got incarcerated, I remembered the story of Joseph. And I remember sitting in my cell one day, and I was like, okay, you know, you got to try his word by his word. I said, God, if you're real, you know, I'm innocent. You know, and I put all my trust in you. And so spiritually wise, that changed me, and that allowed me to endure the physical barriers that life presented itself in front of me with. And about 11 years in my incarceration, that's when I turned 30. And at that point in time, you know, I kind of like physically gave up. There is a state that a person gets institutionalized by living the same life over and over again in a restricted environment. But 4 years after that was when my release came. So I gave up, but God didn't give up on me. And as for the criminal justice system, and to answer your question more directly, as far as the criminal justice system, that's why Miles of Freedom was born. I still have a lot of I think Miles of Freedom is my fight. My fight is not a physical fight with the district attorney's office or the prosecutors. It's this organization that's keeping peoples and families and communities strengthened even during incarceration. If we can keep people out of prison, if we can keep families united, then I feel like that the 15 years that I've done, you know, my dad passing and all of that stuff, was worthwhile.
Yes, 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 it is. And,
it's wonderful that you have set up a foundation or created a foundation, because when I'm listening to you, we talked earlier and we were laughing and we were joking about crying, but I'm listening to you and I'm almost brought to tears because it reminds me of the Kalief Broder story. And, that's one where even Jay-Z made a movie of his life, and people don't understand. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you, for people who are listening, just a brief recap if they don't know his story. But he was a young guy who went to jail for a crime he didn't commit. He was accused of stealing a backpack, had absolutely no evidence against him, minding his own business. And what happens is, because he refused, and this is where a lot of people go wrong, is they just go and take a plea deal. That's the easiest way to ruin your life, is you just take this plea deal. So he refused to take the plea deal. He wound up having to wait for years before his case went to trial. And the majority of that time, he's in isolation. So he actually goes to trial, but the main thing why it stood out to everybody, as horrible as it was for him to be in prison, it stood out because it was more about his life after prison. You know, he was a young guy. I believe, I remember it, but I'm not too much of the details. I think he was about 17, 18, 19. So he's a young guy.
Yeah, he was
guy.
17. Yeah.
Yes. And then he's in isolation. You know, even he was accused of stealing a backpack, but you put this young man in isolation by himself. And when he came out, he talked about how much he had changed. He could, he would walk down the street mumbling to himself and talking to himself. If he tried to get on the train, he would be one of those people who set and just, how you see those people on the train, they talking to themselves and they having this conversation and getting into it, because he spent so many years in isolation by himself. There was no human interaction. There was no socializing. And they literally destroyed his life to the point where he committed suicide, because you release somebody and you think they're out. You know, that's it. That's fine.
That's it. They
you know, they're
okay.
fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it reminds me of the movie, which is one of my all-time favorite movies that I love, but Shawshank Redemption.
I think whoever put that movie, I'm sorry, but I love that movie because it really depicts the life of prison. Even how Andy, you go from free world to incarceration, then from incarceration to free world. I mean, your mind has to click real fast. You have to adjust real fast. And the Kalief Broder story is one, when I heard it and I saw it, I felt for him, because prison can break you if you have no support. It can literally break you. If you go back to why the prison institution was created and how we are the mass majority of the individuals in it, prison is meant to break us. But if we can break the prison bars, then we've defied all ethics, and that's what it's about, So my heart goes out to him and his family. But as long as we have advocates in this industry, social justice individuals, I think that we can fight the good fight.
Yes, we can fight the good fight.
Knowing something that kind of hit my heart, because I'm a victim, and when I say I'm a victim, I'm a victim. Police brutality. I had my ankle broken. I was in handcuffs. We need help in the African American community, because we go to a situation where we're faced with a hatred that's not seen. And people,
right.
like you see the hatred now because Trump is in office, and,
mm-hmm.
and you can
yeah.
physically see the hatred that these people have. But these police
mm-hmm.
officers and the way that they treat us, man.
Mm-hmm.
I
but you know, this
whoa.
Is the time, man. Strictly, we got to mentally. This is like a mental focus, a spiritual focus, and if you're not physically, you know, getting yourself. Equipped. I mean, that's all it is. This time frame for me, I'm not even. I don't care about Trump in the office because it's what God has designed and ordained for me to do right now. Not just me, but each individual. And if we start doing what we're supposed to do, can't no weapon formed prosper. And I'm a living witness. And that's. I mean, everything that I have right now. You know, God bless me. I have a 2-year-old daughter. I have a wife. You know, we're vacationing right now. Yes, I do a lot of work. But I got to thank God for everything. And I know, you know, if God allowed you to go through
the baby.
What she went through. Yeah, she's 2 years old. Yeah, I got out of
praise
her, so moving real fast. I lost a lot of time. You know, I'm like double stepping now. But, you know, God bless you to go through that. And so he blessed you to have this platform, you know, to be a voice for the voiceless. You know, you're doing your job, you're operating, you know, in your arena. And so you've overcame it. You know, you've overcame
yes.
it. So that's good.
One thing I want to say to our community, please fight these cases. Take it to trial.
Yeah.
Take your chances. Take your chances with the people listening to the evidence. If you're innocent, take your chances with the people listening to the evidence. I'm from California. I grew up in South Central
mm-hmm.
Los Angeles. I'd have been shot. I'd have been incarcerated. I'd have had the police beat me for 7 days in the county. Deputy Wargo, I just want to say hi to you because you made me a stronger individual with the way that you tortured
right.
me. Now, when we go to
so
court,
what's
we
wonderful.
Have to fight these,
is that in today's age, in today's day and age, we have had more people who have been freed based on DNA evidence, maybe some based on non-DNA evidence. But, you know, I always
right.
tell people that if I were ever going to be a criminal, I wouldn't be a criminal in 2017. You know what I mean? They have so
right.
much scientific evidence. You know what I mean? That it's
right.
not a question of if, it's a question of when. You know
when,
what I mean? And
right.
they time is on their side.
We found the
they
fly.
They show up 30 years
you,
later.
That was when you shot the lady and the fly had your DNA and her DNA in it.
Yes.
At the crime
yes.
scene.
Yes.
And so
yes.
we got you. And it's like,
yes.
so the fly bit me and the lady. And y'all got the DNA out the fly. Yes, because the fly was dead
yes.
on the lady. We knew the fly was linked. It's like, okay,
yes.
you guys, now this is.
No, I'll give you
that
another
is.
One. This is one. I love watching these stories. I was watching about these two women, man and woman bank robbers, and they were the best.
Mm-hmm.
According to everybody, they were the best. They robbed every bank, never left a clue, never left a trace. They found them in this hotel room, and the criminals had cleaned this hotel room almost perfect. Everything was wiped up. But guess what? The woman left a fingerprint on the toilet tissue roll. She had to go to the bathroom. She just, you know what I mean? And they
wow.
found
yeah.
him because of that fingerprint. That's what I said. I could maybe
oh,
in 1905, but 2017,
yeah, right.
no.
You could have
right.
got away from Sherlock Holmes, but you're not getting away from these people.
Oh, right.
No.
I mean, it's technology. Technology, it is what it is, you know. But I mean, I think they've been having it. They just used it for what they wanted to use it for. And, you know, now they're finally seeing that they can use it to free people. And if they can use it to convict you, trust me, they can use it to free you too. They
definitely
try.
But one of the changes are that now what the police are doing is they have so many databases that check other police records. You know, before, if you got arrested in Canton, Ohio, the people in L.A. never heard about you, would never know about you. But now, because they're putting in quotas and they're putting in all these main systems where if you commit a crime in Decatur, they going to find you in Tennessee because they're putting it into one system. So they're getting so much better. So I just want to say, Mr. Miles, we want to hear about, more about you and what you have going on in your foundation. If you ever decide to do a speaking engagement, write a book, we definitely want to be behind you. So we want to thank you for joining us today in the Punch Bowl.
Thank you, Cool Bean. I appreciate this opportunity. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you. We do have a project.
Go ahead, Mr.
I say we do have a project getting ready to come out on TV One. Just finished filming it, and I'll keep you guys in the loop when it actually hits.
Fantastic. If you join us on Nabukie, NABUKIE.com, we'll definitely take a look, and we'll promote it, and we'll see what we can do to help you get the word out. But, again, thank you for joining us on today's show. This has been a wonderful show. We didn't stop talking, stop going, stop having the guests since we started. But tonight we have to go ahead and end the show. And, yes, Damien, what do you want to tell the people?
I want to give a shout-out to my boy Chuck Evans. Duck, I love you. He's doing life for conspiracy. The police, LAPD, can hedge the witness testimony. Conspiracy is one of the hardest things to beat. That's one of those no DNA evidence cases, and he's locked up right now. And I just want to let him know I love him and thinking about him, and I hope he get out soon.
Absolutely. If anyone who's locked up, they won't let you out, but you're innocent, we want to give you some love. Shout out to all of you. So another wonderful, amazing, great, fantastic show, if I do say so myself. So we will be here tomorrow in the Punch Bowl at the same time, 10 o'clock a.m. Pacific time, and we are out.
Thank you for listening to Changing the Conversation with Punch TV Studios CEO Joseph Collins. Tune in Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific time as we continue to change the conversation in contemporary media. To be a guest or to share your thoughts on changing the conversation, visit Nabukie.com today. Don't miss out on the opportunity to be a part of the company that's revolutionizing media. Visit PunchTVStudios.com to become a part owner at $1 per share.